I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here with you this morning. We have enjoyed already being in the Bible Fellowship Hour and sharing what God is calling us to over in Northeast Asia, the area of the world where it's North Korea, South Korea, and China is the area where we have been ministering for the last 12 years and where we are going back to minister. We actually leave in November. We've been back here in the States for a little over a year, and we're heading back on November 11th. So 11-11, or Veterans Day, we head back to Korea. And we look forward to partnering with you and being your representative there in South Korea. My wife Megan is here this morning as well. Don't want to be remiss and not welcome her. So we'd love to talk with you after the service if you have some time. So I have the two chairs here this morning, and I have a question for you. Which chair would you rather be in? How many of you say, I'd rather be in the rocking chair? Okay. How many of you say, okay, well, that's great, but I'd rather be in the wheelchair. Okay, there's a handful of you that said, okay, wheelchair. All right, now, I'm just going to make some assumptions, okay? I'm going to assume that part of the reason that you said the rocking chair, because we kind of say this is a positive, right? And we kind of would say this is a negative. But maybe we'll have a change of opinion at the end of the sermon today. When we think about this wheelchair, we think about, that's the wheelchair, this is the rocking chair. When we think about this rocking chair, we think about peace, about relaxation. If I think about this rocking chair, maybe I have a smile on my face as I imagine myself coming, sitting down in this rocking chair, and there's this nice view of the mountains in front of me. Or maybe it's a beach, okay? Maybe this is what you look forward to one day on vacation or one day in retirement, the ability to just sit in the rocking chair and enjoy creation. Maybe that's what you think of when you think of the rocking chair. Maybe for some of you, it's your happy place, okay? I've had a rocking chair that's been my happy place before, okay? But a lot of times we look at this wheelchair over here, and most of the time we look at a wheelchair and maybe we think it's a negative. We think about the restriction that a person experiences because they have to be in a wheelchair. But I challenge you this morning, maybe think about a wheelchair in a different way. Think about a wheelchair in the freedom that it gives you if you have to be in it. It gives you the freedom to be able to not just be in one place, but if you're in this wheelchair, you can move around. You have the freedom to go and to explore your world. You have the freedom maybe to work or travel or something like that. This wheelchair, maybe it's not always what we would assume on our first impression. So I want to talk to you about these two chairs today and maybe challenge your first impression a little bit. I know I've said that it's a negative and some of you are saying, no, it's not a negative. Okay? I agree with you. We're going to get there. Okay? Now, this month you have been in a series about relationships. And when I talked to Pastor John, he said, this is what our theme is for the month, relationships, how to avoid being a statistic. And so what I want to talk to you about today is worry versus faith. Worry versus faith. And how that plays out in our relationships. So, big idea for today. Every believer can enjoy improved relationships by overcoming worry and growing their faith. It's here on the screen. Every believer can enjoy improved relationships by overcoming worry and growing their faith. If you overcome worry and you grow your faith, your relationships are going to improve. And what we're going to look at this morning is what Jesus had to say about worry. And we're going to look at some biblical promises dealing with worry. And then how overcoming worry can help improve your relationships. Okay? Are you ready? All right. Now, when Pastor John called me, he said, "You're speaking. This is our theme. Make sure you stay on the theme. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about how not to be, how to avoid being a statistic." And he's talking really fast, and I'm trying to keep all this in mind and everything. And so I looked, and this is one of the statistics that I found. Okay? Anxiety has become the number one mental health issue in North America. It's estimated that one-third of the North American adult population experiences anxiety and wellness issues. And that's from the American Psychiatric Association. So there's a statistic that we have about worry or anxiety. If we go to the next one, from the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, nearly 50% of Americans diagnosed with depression are also diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. Now, this is my disclaimer this morning, before I go any further. Once you're at the level of an anxiety disorder, perhaps that's when you do need professional help, counseling or medical help, those type things. And please understand me this morning, if you're already there and you're on doctor's orders, I'm not saying to avoid and to let go of what your doctor has prescribed. Follow your doctor's treatment plan. And maybe something that you hear this morning will help you and give you tools to help fight the spiritual side of this battle. Okay? All right. So that's my disclaimer. Now, one more interesting thing. That last stat that we saw said 50% of Americans diagnosed with depression are also diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. Look at what Proverbs says. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. A good word will make your heart glad. If you want to avoid being one of these statistics, if you want to avoid being one of these statistics, listen to what Jesus had to say about worry. Very simple. Do not worry. Jesus said, do not worry. And we find that in Matthew 6, 25. If you want to turn in your Bibles this morning, Matthew 6, 25. We're going to look at verses 25 through 34. And what Jesus says, he says, do not do it. And he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And we're going to see here, he actually says it three times. Three times. He says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Instead, what he says to do, don't worry, trust your heavenly Father, and seek first the kingdom of God. So let's read. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, the flowers that we see out here. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. These lilies, they're there. They're not working. And they are not spinning to create how they are adorned. They are just adorned and clothed in that way. Yet I say to you, verse 29, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, he's saying it again, do not worry. Verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, third time, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus here has said something. He said, O you of little faith, do not worry, but trust your heavenly Father. Do not worry, but trust your heavenly Father. He's making an important distinction in this passage. He's telling us that worry really is a failure to trust God. And whenever we're failing to trust God, he's saying that is a lack of faith. He says, oh, you of little faith, do not worry. If you have little faith, increase that. Don't worry. When we worry, we're basically saying this. We're basically saying, God, I don't believe you're big enough. I don't believe you're big enough to meet my needs. I don't believe you're big enough to know what my needs are. I don't believe you're big enough to take care of my family. That's what we're saying when we're worrying about these things. You can kind of think about it as two sides of a coin. And one side is worry. So heads would be worry. And if you turn it over to tails, faith. So you have a choice. Which side of that coin are you going to hold? Are you going to hold the worry side or the faith side? Now, over and over throughout this, Jesus has showed how God cares for creation. And if he does all of this for the birds, for the flowers, how much more important are you? And how much more will he do for you? That's comforting, right? We sang about that just a few minutes ago. Above all powers, above all things. Above all created things. God, you're above all of those things. And we can see it here. He's saying that again. Now, there was another study done a few years ago by Cornell University. And Cornell University published a study that said 85% of what we worry about never happens. 85% of what we worry about never happens. That would be a reason why Jesus would say, do not worry. Because 85% of it never even happens. A journalist went and took it a little bit further and did the math a little bit further out, and he said, of that 15% that does happen, the 15% of the things that you worry about that do happen, 12% of those are completely out of your control. Only 3% of the things that we worry about can we actually affect any type of change in. Only 3%. Perhaps that's why Jesus is saying, do not worry. Do not worry, trust the Father. Do not worry, trust the Father. Do not worry, trust the Father. That's what Jesus has said over and over in Matthew 6. Now, look at these two chairs. Okay? Rocking chair. Perhaps some of you know this quote. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do. Oh, man. I don't know what to think about this. I don't know. Worry. It gives me something to do, but am I going anywhere? No. I'm not going anywhere. Worry gives us something to do. It's like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. And so that's why I'm challenging you with the wheelchair of think about the wheelchair. If the rocking chair is worry and fear, it makes sense that this wheelchair could represent faith and freedom. Freedom from worry, freedom to trust God that if we get in this wheelchair, now God can take us wherever it is that he wants us to go. And we're right there ready to go and do whatever it is that he needs us to do. So does that change maybe the way that you're looking at these two chairs this morning? Perhaps. Jesus said, have faith, trust your Father, trust God. Now, let's look at some promises that we have this morning from Scripture. And I'll read the verses to you. This is just a summary of what it says. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, I have come to give you peace. Don't let your heart be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. Jesus says that the peace that he gives drives out fear. Or another word for fear is worry. Romans 8:15. I like this verse. One of my favorites. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of adoption. Or what we sing about this morning, I am who you say I am. I'm chosen. I was chosen and not forsaken. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm a child of God. I am who you say I am. I am adopted, and as someone who is adopted, I can now call God Daddy, is what this verse is saying. Abba, Father. Lamentations 3:21-23. Look this one up. And this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Sounds like a song, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. What I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. I have hope. Because of God's great faithfulness. That's what we find in Lamentations 3. The next verse, 1 Peter 5:7-10. Peter writes and he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's not just Sam who is faced with these problems and these things to worry about. All of us are going to be faced with these issues, with these problems, with these things that are taking our focus and our time. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, we will have some problems. We will have some things that cause us suffering. After you've suffered a while, may God perfect, may God establish, may God strengthen and settle you. When I give my worries to God, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me, or give me peace. Or as we sang about, again, above all powers. Satan is here on this earth. He is out here trying to harm us, trying to devour us like a roaring lion. But God is above all of those powers. And that gives us peace. The last verse I want to share with you is Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. And so as I was getting ready for this message, and give you a little bit of a story here, I asked some of my friends, I put a message out on Facebook. I said, hey, share, what is your greatest fear? And then I asked another question. I said, what is your greatest worry? Because people kind of differentiate between fear and worry. My sister was the first to respond. And my sister said, my greatest fear is water on my face. And I'm like, then why did you put a pool in your backyard? Okay. My greatest fear is water in my face. How many of you are afraid of getting your face wet? Okay. And some of us, we don't want to go swimming because we don't want to, like, we think we might drown. That's my sister's biggest fear. I would say maybe it might be her children. Others of my friends replied to those questions and they said, I'm concerned, I worry about my job. I worry about my children. How are they going to turn out? Are they going to grow up okay? I worry about all these different things. One of my friends had a brain tumor. I worry about health. I worry about my ability to continue to provide for my family. Then the greatest fear, many of my friends said, my greatest fear is that my children or my family will not come to know Christ. That was one of the biggest things. But then I love the thing that Megan's grandmother said. She's 84 years old, lives by herself in Washington State. And this was her response. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. She said, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear. She's 84 years old, lives by herself, and she says, I have nothing to fear because I have put my trust in you. Whenever I'm afraid, God, I'm trusting you. And that's what Psalm 56, 3 and 4 says. It's, when I trust God, I will not be afraid. I was like, way to go, Graham. Way to go. I like that. Now, those are some of the things. The Bible is full of these promises. If we trust God, how He is faithful to meet our needs, how He is faithful to care for us. Jesus says, do not worry in Matthew 6. If you look again later, He tells the disciples over and over, do not worry. Think about the time when He's out on the boat. Jesus is asleep. And there's this huge storm that these professional lake men, professional fishermen who live their lives on the water, it's a storm like they've never seen before. They wake Him up and say, Jesus, we're gonna die. Do something. And He looks at them, and what does He say? Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. And then He calmed the storm. And then they had been afraid, but then they were really afraid because they saw, who is this that the winds and the sea obey Him? There's plenty of promises in Scripture that we can grab a hold of, that we can hold on to fight worry and to fight fear. Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, all right, but our theme this month is about relationships. So what does worry and fear and these two chairs, what do they have to do with relationships? All right, let's tie it all together. Okay? Overcoming worry will improve your relationships. It will. If you can overcome worry, it will improve your relationships. Now, let's look at it from the negative side for a second, okay? When we allow worry to take hold in us, this is how it affects our relationships. It causes a breakdown in trust and connection. If I'm worried about something all the time, I'm going to try to seek maybe to do it on my own, and I'm not going to trust my friend, trust my family with this problem. And it can break down the connection in the relationship that we have. It's one of the dangers of worry. Another one is it can cause panic or procrastination. Think about it. You hear this story, you hear about a situation, you start worrying about it, and then maybe you rush to a conclusion and not think things out. And you make a decision before you think things out, you panic. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you hear about something, and there's a situation, there's a problem, you start worrying about it, and you just keep worrying about it, and you procrastinate. You don't make a decision. Either way, you risk a bigger problem. It causes us to behave selfishly. If we start worrying about something, maybe we do something, maybe we make a decision that is for Sam and ignores the others that it may hurt. It might cause a problem in marriage or in work relationship or friends. Also, it's the opposite of acceptance. The part of us that worries is also the part that's our imagination, right? And that's the part of us that God gave us to help solve problems, to creatively think about things in a way that can help remedy a situation or bring help to something. And if we are going to worry, we're not accepting that this situation might be real, that it's a necessary situation that we have to deal with. The fifth part, it could rob us of joy. If we're worrying about things all the time, we're not going to be very joyous, not going to be very joyful. And how does that affect your relationships? Okay? You don't want to be friends with someone who is a worry wart, right? Okay? That when someone is excessively worrying, it brings everyone down. It robs us of joy. Now, this is from goodtherapy.org, secular organization, not necessarily Christian. But there's truth right here that we can see. When we worry, again, we're saying, God, you're not big enough. God, you're not big enough to do what you've said you can do. If we're worrying, we're forgetting that God takes care of the birds, that God takes care of the flowers. We're getting in the rocking chair, and we're just rocking away, rocking away, rocking away, rocking away. We're doing a lot, but are we going anywhere? No. When I put my faith in God, when I grow my faith, I'm looking at Him and I'm saying, God, I trust you. I'm getting in the wheelchair and I'm saying, okay, God, let's go. Take me where you want me to go. I trust you to take care of this situation. I'm putting all of my faith in you to handle this. When we quit worrying, we put ourselves right here, putting our faith and trust in God and His ability to take care of us. Now, if I can tell you a story, all of this became real to me when I was in college, okay? I have a sister. I told you her greatest fear is water on her face, right? Now, my sister is 11 years older than me. And when I was in college, my sister had been married at that point for about 8 or 10 years. And I got a phone call one night, and I didn't like the news that I had heard. My sister, when she got married, it was against my parents' wishes. She and her husband actually eloped, and it was not a good situation. Maybe some of you had this situation in your family. And my sister married this guy. He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. And so that brought another set of controversy in to the relationship. And we've been praying for him over and over, praying for her, and praying that my brother-in-law, Scott, would come to know God, that he would come to be a Christian. And eventually, when I was, I think, a senior in high school, he did make a profession of faith. that he said, I am now a Christian, I accepted Christ, I'm a Christian. But that didn't necessarily solve the problems in their relationship, and their different things happened and everything. And I was in college. I'm from South Carolina. All my family lives in South Carolina. I'm out in college in Missouri, 1,000 miles away. And I get a call and said, Scott and I are breaking up. I'm moving out. And I'm moving back in with mom and dad. I'm taking our daughter. She's 4 years old. We're moving back in with mom and dad. And I'm just like, okay, God, I've been praying about this situation. I've been praying for them. I've been praying for them to be together strong. And I just started, my brain just started going all sorts of places. And 1,000 miles away, I can't do anything about it. I can't be there to give anybody a hug or help moving out or anything like that. And so what do? I'm just over here in the rocking chair, rocking away in my worry. And I'm sitting there in that rocking chair, just consumed by all of this. And I go and I talk with one of my friends. His name is Don. And I'm sharing the situation with Don. And he said, Sam, you're afraid. He said, worry is like fear. The Bible tells us that worry and fear are the same, and that it is it's the opposite of trusting God, that it's the opposite of putting our faith in God. And he shared this verse with me, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And immediately, my world quit spinning. And I was able to put my faith in God to take care of this situation. Because I'd seen this promise that God, as a Christian, God has not given me a spirit of fear. But if I'm trusting God, He has given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a sound mind. Sound mind means I can be at peace. No matter what the situations are, I can be at peace. It gives me a spirit of power and of love. How does this have to do with your relationships? The opposite of worry is faith. And if we can take that faith, we can exercise it in loving others. And he's saying, I'm giving you the power to love others. Look at what it says in 1 John. 1 John 4, 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Worry kills our ability to love as Christ loved. How does this affect our relationships? If you have faith in God to provide, to meet your needs, if you will trust him and his love for you, his love will drive out that fear. His love will drive out that fear. And if we love and trust God, we can then love and trust others. We can love others. Our relationships need love. When we put our faith in God, He empowers us to love others well. So is God big enough? Is God big enough? Yeah, he's big enough. The question is, where is my faith? God is big enough to take care of all of this. But where is my faith? And some of us, we might be saying, I mean, I was already a believer. When that happened with my sister and I had that conversation with Don, I'm already a Christian. I'm in Bible college out in Missouri. I already trust and believe God for my salvation. Perhaps if you're in that same boat, you need to hear what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. And he said that to a man who had come to him and said, my child is sick and dying. Jesus, please heal them. And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man looked back at him and said, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. If you're struggling with believing today, if you're struggling with trusting God to meet these problems, to deal with the things that he's already promised he's going to do, if you're struggling with that, make the simple declaration, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me, the parts of me that don't fully believe, help me to overcome that. Help me to fully believe. So I ask you this morning, which chair would you rather be in? Bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. So really, there's two groups of people here in the room this morning. Those who put their faith in the Father and those who haven't. We've talked about this morning about your worries, about trusting God to meet your needs and giving you the peace and the love to help strengthen your relationships. There's one relationship that is the most important. That's your relationship with the Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners and that sin separates us from God. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. This is the good news. And that dying on the cross, he defeated sin. He gave us a way to restore that relationship with God. When he died on the cross 3 days later, he rose from the grave and defeated death and sin. All we have to do is put our faith in Jesus for deliverance from our sin. If you've never done that, then the first step that you need to take this morning is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to say a prayer, and I ask you just to simply to repeat it after me. It's not the words of the prayer that matters, it's the expression of your faith, your belief that Jesus is the only way to be back in relationship with the Father. So if you want to do that this morning, just pray there after me. Dear Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I know my sin is separating me from the Father. I believe, I put my faith in your sacrifice, your death on the cross. Please forgive me of my sins and restore my relationship with the Father. And if you prayed that this morning, then please come and talk to me or Daniel or Kevin, one of the others here this morning, and let somebody know. We have gifts and resources that we'd like to give you and help you with this new walk, new decision that you've made. The second group of people here this morning, you're Christians, your faith is already in Christ, but maybe you're struggling with worry. Jesus said, do not worry, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you seeking the kingdom first? Are you putting God and what he has said first? Have you let God take care of all the worries in your life? The simplest way to express that faith is to pray. Pray this morning and give all those worries back to God, saying, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe that, but I'm still struggling to live it out. Maybe that's you this morning. I'm not sure. But do you believe that God is big enough? Are you ready to get in the wheelchair of faith and let God take you where you want to go? Lord, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for your promises in Scripture that teach us that we do not need to worry, that you are taking care of everything for us. Lord, that you are above all. And Lord, let us remember that. Let us draw peace from that. And Lord, let us show that forth in the relationship that we have with others. Let us be able to love others wholly and completely. God, help us to show the love of others to the people that we meet this week. Lord, I pray that the people that we meet this week, that we cross paths with, Lord, that we will be an example of you to them, that we'll be a light to them. God, bless the rest of our time here this morning. Thank you that we have a place to come to study your word and to celebrate, praise, and worship you. So I pray in your name. Amen.